Oh, church! How many of y'all feel like having a little church today? You act like it. Let's thank God for the choir that He's given us and the singers that He's given us in this place. The musicians that have gathered. Wow. I'm glad to be back. I've been to the motherland. We're all heading back there one day. It'll be a new Jerusalem. I hope that you all realize, and I know by our pastors, that you have been taught correctly. There is a place in God's heart. God put His presence in Jerusalem. He didn't put His presence in Brownsville or Bowling Green. He put His place in Jerusalem. There's several things that the Bible tells us to pray for. The Bible tells us, instructs us to give peace. But you know what? In that 122nd Psalm, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so I'm going to invite you to join with me. Sometimes I get so Americanized, I forget to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In fact, I've been praying for the patience of our economy so much, I have to confess and apologize to God. I have forgotten to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. No matter what you think about it, here's what I want to let you know. I came back from 7-8 days of going through what we call the Holy Land. Now, I believe all land is holy now because the curtain has been ripped and Jesus is available to all people. But in the, let's call it in the epicenter of where it all took place, it is kind of overwhelming to stand on the very street way below the city now that our Lord and Savior's very feet walked upon. And to realize that a message that really is now under the ground is still declaring His glory. Amen. And this morning as I watched the choir, I became excited because I don't know about you all, I don't hear a lot of good news anymore during the week. Do you? I heard our government speak this week, and in a matter of 10 minutes, 26 times said the word crisis. Well, I'm in a crisis and you're in a crisis. But I want to preach to the glory of God this morning. The everlasting crisis has been changed by Jesus Christ. The greatest crisis of all is not our wallets. It was our sinful nature. And we have been delivered by Jesus. Is anybody feeling that in this house this morning? I'm going to push you a little. I told you it's coming. I've been telling you it was coming. I really believe God is sovereign, so I don't believe you accidentally end up anywhere. Make sense? And this is going to be a tough message to grab because watch this. Even your hard times are ordained by God. Now let me help you. I had to get some gray hair before I could preach this message. Lord, I've had some hard times in leadership. Any of y'all ever had any hard times in leadership? Absolutely. Guess what that's called? Being a leader. If you are in a leadership position and you've never had a hard time, it's because you've never led. How many of y'all have been a parent? If you've really been a parent, if you've been a true parent, your adolescent children will not like you at some point in time. That means you're being a good parent. If your adolescent children like you all the time, that means you as a parent are thinking like an adolescent. That's a dangerous situation. God has a covenant promise He's given to the people. How many of you are glad to know that every person in here could be saved by God? Now note how I said that, pastors. I didn't say they will be saved by God. I said they could be saved by God. I believe that's the salvific power of God. Guess what? Some of you have repented of your sins. Some of you think you've repented of your sins. Some of you are playing games with God. True? Here's what I want you to know. After walking through the epicenter, you don't want to play a game with God. You know what it did? Every rock that was unturned, every archaeologist that was spoken. I was very fortunate to be in the group. We had the best of the best, top-known, world-renowned archaeologists. I became friends with one of them. He was about my age and actually communicated at my intensity level. We got along great. He was also a captain in the Israeli Defense Force. I like hanging out with people in Israel that know how to shoot well. You know what? They're at war. Last Sunday, I stood, as you all were asleep, I was standing looking into the Gaza Strip, speaking to a beautiful young woman named Tamar. Tamar was like many of you in this congregation. She was 35 years old. She had two children. One, an 8-year-old child who struggled with autism. Another, a 4-year-old child who was trying to figure out how to make his way in the midst of a worn, torn reality. Tamar was a child psychologist. She graduated from Hebrew University. She was very intellectual. Israel's not a third world country. These are very intelligent people. They speak many languages and know much history. And she began to weep to tell us what it was like. We were standing on a hill, and then there was a water reservoir, and then you could see the city of Gaza down from the hill. She looked at us and she said, if you all don't mind, we need to stand under this pavilion. And she said, those big rocks there, if you hear the siren, please lay down by the big rocks so you won't be hit by a rocket. That brought it home. As soon as she had said that, we hear gunfire. She didn't even flinch. She said, oh, don't worry about that. Those are our guns. Here's a 35-year-old mother who has learned to detect the difference in an M16 and what Hamas and Hezbollah fires. I got home sometime Monday. I can't remember exactly when, but we arrived back in the States, and I came to my office. I had a tag on my email that they send me, and it said, Sunday morning at Gaza Strip, suicide bomber was shot by the Israeli Defense Forces. That was the gunfire that I heard. On a Sunday morning, a saving act to a group of people. Now, here's what I want you to know. We don't live like the rest of the world. And it's time for us as Americans to wake up and realize that we're a bunch of spoiled brats globally. And it's time for us to also act upon the positions we've been given. You all have heard me before. I think it's an absolute shame that our public education system is taken for granted. I think it's an absolute shame that parents allow their children to go through our public school system that is free. Well, it's not free for all of us to pay taxes. We provide it. And just let our kids blow through there without becoming who they're supposed to be. Did you realize that's a rare gift? That doesn't go on in every country. It was summed up for me as you want to hear how the Israelis look at us? You want to hear how they look at Americans? Asher, my friend, you all pray for Asher. At the end of our deal, Asher, he's still out on the Messiah, okay? He's still out on the Messiah. He's got some historic evidence of this rabbi that moved through history, but he's not sure who he is yet. And I told him, I said, Asher, I want to thank you for allowing the rocks to declare the truth. He said, oh, Rev, that's heavy. I said, keep pecking on those rocks. They'll keep telling the story. Because you know what I know? Everything will declare His glory. History, this moment, the next moment, God's promises, His covenant promises will come true. How many of y'all believe in that? So watch this. I'm going to give you some new news today. Don't panic. Have faith. Andy and Trish stood up today in a video, and guess what they showed us in a tough journey of life? Andy and Trish, I'm not just honoring you. I'm honoring the Jesus Christ that we worship here, that is in you, that allowed you to do what is impossible to most people in your generation. I mean, y'all are baby boomers. You're about hot tubs and resort hotels. But you said, wait a minute, I'm going to trust my God in the midst of every opposition. Watch this, truly, you went against common sense. And God has delivered a preacher up front here through Jesus' faith. Now listen, Andy and Trish, they are the surrogates to what God's doing in your life. See, I know that. I'm an adopted kid too. My parents were the surrogates for the mission of God. Nathan, have you kind of felt kind of good? We're talking about Moses. Guess what he was? He's an adopted kid. Did y'all realize Moses is adopted? He's weird. People ask me all the time, what does it feel like to be adopted? I go, human. We eat breakfast in the morning. We fuss. We fight. We're human beings. Okay, watch this. It's about promise. It's about faith. Asher, my brother, you know what he told me? He said, you will hear people say, China's the new wave, or another country's the new wave. He said, I have been all over the globe with my studies. He said, give me one person that has a Chinese dream. He said, nobody's trying to get in anywhere but America. Because he said, they still believe. If you go to America, all things are possible. Now, I would propose to you that some of that, not all of that, but some of that attitude came. It's hard to wash out all of our history. At one time in America, we were pretty dedicated to the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think? How many of you all believe that? That did shape some things in history. Now, I know the ologies have bent that and tried to reprogram that through the centuries. But you know what? There was a sense that we were on mission with God. Those Puritans that landed and established, they weren't on a sense that they wanted to have a great nation. They wanted God to do a great thing. And that brings us to Moses. That brings us to God calling Moses. Because what's God doing? God is keeping a promise. Tell your neighbor, God keeps promises. Now, see, here's what I want you to know. How many of y'all have ever been through a tough time? Anybody here ever had a tough time? Anybody here ever had a tough time? Let me ask you this. Anybody here not had a tough time? Because we want you to come preach right now. Here's my deduction. I don't know how to get out of having a tough time. If you come into church looking for a way out of a tough time, I don't have one. I never will have one. Because I know the truth. Humanity is sinful. And that means this. Every week we're going to bump into this. Greed, arrogance, selfish ambition. Any of y'all have that this week? Any of y'all bump into that this week? Come on, let's get honest. How many of y'all were some of that this week? See, don't act like it don't get on us. How many of you find that we demand our way instead of God's promise? We become lying. We become deceiving. We become selfish. Now watch. These are the things that are destroying us. Now what happens is they symptom out in many other ways. And all of a sudden we say, we got to correct the symptom. What I'm proposing to you as a pastor, we have a very important message because only grace changes the root of the problem. We can see all these symptoms. You know, I'm not surprised that CEOs of large corporations are greedy. Are you? I'm greedy at times. How many of y'all been greedy at times? I started being greedy when I was a little kid. I used to put more cereal in my bowl than I would give my brothers and sisters. Didn't y'all do stuff like that? I was a young kid and already a greedy person. Mark, did you ever hide stuff from your sisters? Yeah, because you wanted more than what? They had. Any of y'all ever do that? Even your own family. See, guess what? It's my sinful nature. But here's the good news. We just sang this morning. The curtain's been ripped. And what used to be housed in the Holy of Holies can be experienced right now in the here and now. Reverend Britt, I think that's what we've forgotten. The power that was housed in a building has been released in a Savior to all people who will believe. And church, I want to challenge you, man, we got to embrace that power. We got to let God's power of the promise flow through us, even when it gets difficult. Now, Moses has gone and told the people that God has heard their cries, right? We heard that. Dr. Jamie did a great job last week. How many of y'all glad to know that God knows when we're miserable? How many of y'all glad to know that even though we got to go through a mountain, like Jamie told us, even though we got to go through some valleys, God's promise is still being communicated? Well, Moses goes and delivers the message to Pharaoh. You need to let my people go. God is on the move. If you will, he started the first night of the revival. He declared the promises. But guess what? Pharaoh didn't listen. How many of y'all understand just because you say it doesn't mean everybody's going to buy it? We get so frustrated. We get so frustrated when people don't buy what we say. Well, guess what? Guess what? I'm not asking you to buy what I say. Guess what I'm asking you to do? Go check it out. Here's all I can tell you. I rode up and down the epicenter, and every word of this Bible is true. I met a great pastor on the trip. Man, God lined up some cool pastors. I mean, I met some smart pastors. And for me, I need to hang around smart people. That helps me. And you all won't believe this, but I just get quiet when I get around smart people. I just soak it up. This guy was smart. He'd been coming to Israel since 1977. And I asked him, we got down to the Jordan River. And for those of us in Kentucky, if you ever saw the Jordan River, you'd be really disappointed. It's like half of Drake's Creek. Now, I know for all of our lives as young people, we've sang, you know, standing on the mighty banks. Well, the mighty banks ain't that mighty. And the Jordan River isn't the point. The point is that Jesus will baptize you into His power. That's the point. But the Jordan's a disappointment. But in a desert, a stream's a big deal. Okay. So I asked him, I said, hey, Tony, I said, the first time you saw the Jordan River, what was your experience? He said, man, I was puckered up like a pine knot. I said, what do you mean you're puckered up like a pine knot? He said, well, back in 1977, you couldn't cross the Jordan because the Jordanians owned it. So when we went to see the Jordan River, we had the Jordanians had their guns pointed at us on one side and Israel had their guns pointed at us on the other side. I didn't even see the river. I was too puckered up. Now, in East Tennessee, you know what puckered up means. That's where he's from. God, am I going to live? And what did God say? Yes. Here's what I want you to know. In the midst of travail, life comes forth. And sometimes God, even in the midst of our misery, if we'll listen, is doing a great work. I'm just beginning to be able to confess this, but I've really found that some of my most difficult times in my human journey have been the times that God has shook loose the stuff out of me that He needed to get rid of. Every once in a while we need to be humbled. And this will humble you. Life. Life. That's why I love old people. How many of y'all love old people? Some of y'all are old people. You need to love yourself, all right? I mean, it's great. Watch this. Here's the thing about aging. It's not such a bad deal. I know we fight it in America, don't we? I mean, we pull it back. You know, we got more cosmetic. We're so scared that we're going to get what? You're going to. But now what happens if you embrace it? And you say, wait a minute, God, I've journeyed with you for several decades. How many of you all found this? The longer you live with God, the more true He is. See, when I started in my 20s, I had some ideas about God. Now in my 40s, I got some confirmation of those ideas. If God grants me some more life, you know what I know will happen? Everything that He said in His Word will come true. You got to get that belief. See, people, they think I'm just intense. I'm not just intense. Guess what? I believe there's a hell. Now, guess what? Half of my colleagues now, they don't believe there's a hell. The preachers have gone away from the Word of God. That's what's happening in America. There's a hell. You say, well, Pastor Steve, you believe a loving God would send me to hell? No. A loving God's done all He can to show you there's a way into heaven. He crucified His very self. But if you deny what that loving God said, hell is your end result. And you know what? It's so scary to preach in America because Americans don't believe anything but themselves. And then guess what? I'm watching a nation, my nation, a nation that I love, and we're echoing the symptoms of our secular theology. There are no consequences. You're hearing it every day. You know what happens when you make a bad deal spiritually? You go to hell. There ain't a stimulus package. There ain't a bailout. And there's not a government that can save you. Now, y'all better listen. I know some of you disagree with me, but that's okay. But I want you to know the government will not save your soul. Now, they might give you some Tostitas or $13 a week, but they're not going to save your soul. They're not going to change your life. But you know what? You live under government submission long enough, you'll think they're God. That's the problem God's got with the children of Israel. They've been in Egypt for how long? 400 years. You stay in slavery for 400 years. Guess what you become? A slave. And for the children of Israel, guess what they've become? Egyptians. They started singing that song before we wrote it. They walk like an Egyptian. It's what's happened to them. They talk like Egyptians. They look like Egyptians. They're a part of the Egyptian culture. In fact, I finally had to ask the question. We were at the West Wall, and you all have seen the ultra-Orthodox Jews, and they all wear those cool sideburns, you know? I've always wanted to know what that was about. So I just had to ask. So I said, "Asher, you know them things that fly down in guys' heads? I ain't saying that's a bad deal. Hey, whatever they're into is cool." I said, "What's that about?" He said, "Well, you've read your Bible, hadn't you?" I said, "Some of it, but I missed the sideburn part." And he said, "Well, let me tell you what happened." He said, "You remember when God said, he said, when you get to the other side of the Red Sea, when you get to the other side of the Red Sea, he said, I want you to grow your hair back in, because here's what happened. In Egypt, all the men shaved the brim. This was bald up through here. Kind of had a mohawk, kind of new age punk rock looking cut in Egypt, okay? There's no new haircut, hairstylist. You look through the ages of history, we've all done it some way or another. Well, they shaved it, Billy, right here. Boom. And so God was telling them, I want you to know you are my people. You are not an Egyptian. You are the people of promise. And when you get to the other side, I even want you to feel the side of your hair back in so you remember whose you are. Now, they take it to a little bit of the stream. Basically, what God was saying is just, you know, put it back. Let it grow. They let it grow. But what's it a sign of? I belong to God. See, everything has meaning if you just listen to folks. Now, here's our dilemma. Moses is worried that God's not working fast enough. Y'all ever had that problem? How many of y'all prayed in the morning and expected an answer by the evening? Why? Why do we do that? Come on, give me some. Y'all are talking today. I like it. Billy's loosening you up. Why do we do that? We're Americans. I mean, Lord, we can't even wait for a baked potato. We microwave it and we wonder why our hair's falling out. We nuke our food and wonder why we're unhealthy. Huh? We can't wait for what? I remember when microwaves came out. What was the great declaring of the microwave? It's fast. Yeah, but now, do those microwave baked potatoes, they don't hit it like a real grandma baked potato, do they? I always like going back to my grandma's house. She still had this understanding. From scratch. But if you were in the groove of American society, it was from a box. And we kind of want God from a box. We want Him to instantly move on our problem. Now watch this. Here's what I wanted you to leave with today. God is working on the situation even when you can't feel it. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, even though I don't feel it, He's still there. Even though I don't feel it, He's still there. Okay, now you need to know that, because we've built one sector of our religion in America on feelings. I hear people all the time, well, I don't know if it's God's direction because I can't feel it. Who cares if you can't feel it? I want y'all to be a strong church. You're not. Hey, when you get broke, you can't feel nothing. When you broke, you can't feel nothing. How many of y'all been broke before, other than the pastor? When you broke, see, that's why this economy doesn't scare me. I've been broke before. You can still eat, just not steak. So what you do is you get you a minute steak and put A1 on top of it, a lot of it, and it tastes like a real steak. There's ways around things if you'll get creative. Amen? Well, Moses gets this problem. Look at Moses. Chapter 5, verse 22 in Exodus. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people?" Man, that's a great question. How many of y'all feel like that sometime? I started following God and it got worse than it was when I wasn't following Him. And here's why. God's about getting His promise through you, not about just making you feel good. Eleanor, you went through a traumatic experience in your human journey with your husband George, true? When you get a new set of lungs, that's kind of a high-tech surgery, right? Do you know what I noticed about you? Your faith had reached a level, even when the doctors gave no hope, you still had some hope. Where was that coming from? My hope comes from beyond my insight. Now you're living. My hope comes from beyond what I can see. But for a moment, Moses is only seeing what he can see. And he says, "Lord, I went and I talked to the people. I went over here and I told Pharaoh he needed to let you go. You're fixing to make a move, great Yahweh. I did." Oh, I can relate to Moses. He's one of my heroes. I've done that before. I've walked in my office and said, "God, I told them exactly what you tell me to do, and they ain't doing it. This committee's in a wad, and that committee's in a wad, and this group of people wants to sing this, and this people wants to do jumping jacks. None of them listening to you, God." You know what God tells me? Now, God deals with me different than He does y'all, because y'all are a lot nicer than I am. You know what God's told me before? "Oh, shut up." When He says that, that's when I sit down.
I said, what are you talking about, God? He said, Ayers, were you there when I put the start? No. Ayers, were you even there when I? No. Well, Ayers, do you want to? No. God, I'm not smart. Then trust me. But isn't that what God really tells us to do? Now, guess what God was doing? He's getting a slave out of these people. His people had slave all in him. They were slaves. Now, y'all want to talk about slavery? Let's talk about the Jews. They're the experts on slavery. Did you realize the Jewish people have been enslaved more than any other race in human history? Somebody explain to me why they end up running the commodities markets. Why they're some of the finest doctors in the world. Why they are the edge of technology. I got a hunch, and it comes from Moses 5. God got the slave out of them. God had to get the slave out of them. For 400 years, what had they been? Slaves. Guess what they thought like? Guess what they talk like? Guess how they looked at the world? They looked at the world through slavery. And God had to convert their mentality from slavery to promise. Uh-oh. What have you and I been most of our lives? Slave to what? Sin. How many of y'all just walk around in your sin? How many of y'all practice your sin until it gets you? And y'all like me, I don't care about my sin until it what? Gets me. How many of y'all smoked until the doctor said you had lung cancer? How many of y'all could read well enough, though, that on the side of the packet said, warning! It says that on the dip can, too. Warning, but I read this clause. This may cause. So guess how I read it? It may not either. See, that's what happens. That's why you get around what? That's thinking like a what? It's late. It was interesting. When you go to another country, they don't have a real good view of tobacco. You know, which hurts my feelings being from Kentucky. They had like cigarettes in the duty-free place. And guess what? They had like a case of cigarettes. And they had on the box in big block letters, this will kill you. And so, man, you felt pretty dumb going to a box, pulling out a pack to say, this will kill you. Huh? But what were they alerting to? We've done the research. This is not a good idea. But what do? Our minds tell us what? It's not going to get who? Me, whatever it is. I'm just using that example. I mean, it could be tobacco, it could be alcohol, be pornography. There's all kinds of things we can get into that enslave us. The point is not what you got into. The point is, are you willing to let God take you out of slavery? See, that's the problem with preachers. We preach about what people get into instead of showing people what they need to get out of. We need to get out of our slavery and live in God's promise. That's what's going on. That's God's exercise. God said, you know what? Here's what he was doing. Moses was grabbing. He said, man, it's gotten worse on the people. You know what Pharaoh did? Instead of letting the people go, guess what he did? He told them, I'm not even going to give you any straw anymore. You're going to go get your own straw and then bring it and make the bricks. And you got to get the same quota. You know why I think God allowed that to happen? He wanted his people to know who Egypt really was. How many of y'all understand? I hope you will understand this at Hillview. The government can never be God. And if you don't believe it, I encourage you to go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. Or if you get to Israel, walk through there and you'll see when a government tries to be God, it's always deadly. Because we're not God. How many of y'all okay? We're not God. The Romans weren't God. The Greeks weren't God. The Americans aren't God. The Bolingrinians aren't God. The Egyptians aren't who? God. They're opposers. They're oppressors. They've enslaved you. And Reverend Reynolds, I think God wanted them to know one last. I think God wanted them to have a taste of their oppression in their mouth before Moses took them to the other side. And even with that, what did they do when they got to the other side? And they wanted to go make what? Bricks. Hold on, don't pick on them. How many of y'all have been in the glory of God and went back to brick making? How many of y'all have participated in the possibilities of God and wandered right back in your life and said, you know what? I think I'm just going to be okay at making bricks. Hillview, in the name of Jesus, that's not what God's forgiven us for. He has not delivered us to be brick makers. He's delivered us to be a testimony to the temple, His resurrection. So he goes on, let's see what happens here. Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Where's my job, God? I've been out of work for a week. You said you would take care of me. How many of y'all realize God's taking care of his people? Boy, we got fits being thrown every week here at Hillview. You're talking about people throwing fits. We had a person go Kung Fu Panda on Mark this week. It's a benevolent situation. You know what? Everybody gets close to God when they get broke. So your pastor's a little bit different. I believe in the community of God. Well, if you're going to live away from God, guess what? I think you need to be hungry for a few days. I think you need to feel what it's like without having a provider. I mean, Billy just sang to you, who's the provider? Jehovah Jireh. They came in here at Hillview Heights. We're out of funds because you know what? We're going to take care of our people first. We're going to take care of the people that have plowed in this place for some 17, 18 years. And when they lose a job, we're going to work on them first because God said he'd provide for his children. And you say, well, what about all the other people? They get the crumbs right now. You know why they get the crumbs? Because that's what Jesus said. Well, I know that'll get me fired right there. Doesn't God love everybody? He sure does. But he responds different to those who believe and those who don't believe. And if you think there's the same response, you're thinking up a wrong tree. Ah, boy, that just cuts all over our grain, doesn't it?
Well, you mean God doesn't just...
No! I'm going to fry you all. There is a consequence for disobedience. Come on, guys, you all know that. Don't give me that look like there is. How many of y'all grew up in a house when you didn't do what your mom and dad said, hell was on its way? My parents, even my mother, she would refer to who could bring hell on. She'd say, Daddy, you need to take care of that. And he'd come with hell. Yeah, I grew up in a day back when they didn't put you in timeout. They reminded you there's a consequence, which is, there still is. I'm going to blow y'all away. Do you know why some people are losing their homes? Watch this. Y'all, hold on to your seat. You don't get this information on CNN, NBC, Fox. Ready? Hold on to your seat. Some people who made $40,000 a year bought a $400,000 home. They were stupid. When you make $40,000 a year, you cannot afford a what? $400,000 home. Who would want that much home? Do you know how much carpet you got to vacuum in a home that size? Use your brain. But guess what? Egypt told them. Hold on, Eric, didn't they? They went to see Egypt. Egypt had slick hair, a coat and tie. Egypt was sitting at a big desk. Egypt said, we got free what? Money. And they even had a song playing in the background. Money, money, money. And we all got intoxicated. Well, jeepers, man, I can get me a $400,000 house for $255 a month. What a great country we live in. And we walked out of there and they should have just put dumb right there on everybody's forehead that did that. I had a banker here in town. I won't mention their name. And we were looking at a little purchase and they brought one of them subprime out. And I just started laughing. I said, now listen, I know I look dumb. But you know what I told that banker? I was raised better than this. I was raised to know better than this. Now, I give people a lot of grace because some of you wasn't raised to know better. But I'm going to show you the same patterns working here in Egypt. Moses was mad because God didn't work instantly. And here's what all I wanted you to know today. When you think God's not working instantly, God's working out of you what you need for the blessing. He was working slavery out of these folks, and he's doing something else. Moses is not going to deliver the people. God is. It's just like every Sunday, guess what? Not one of our pastors can save you. Believe me, I know them all well, a lot better than you all know them. None of them can save you. In fact, you put us all together, we can't even save ourselves. If you put all of our pastors in a fishing boat and the storm started coming up, we'd have the same reaction as the 12 disciples. And Reynolds would probably be the one wanting to walk on water. We'd all freak out too. Mark would want to know how much the boat was going to cost. Shane would be bailing and griping that they're not deacons helping us bail out the boat. Where are they? They're asleep on the shore. You see, we can't save ourselves. There is a Jesus that can save us. There's a God that delivers. There's a God of promise. Nothing has changed, and that is good news. The same God that'll take you out of Egypt is the same God that'll take you out of your sins. It's the same God that rose from the grave and declares a final day of His glory forever and ever. That's our God. That's our God. A God that delivers. Look at here. I got finished up. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord." That's what I just said. "I appeared to Abraham." What did he tell Abraham? "You're going to be the father of many nations." We got 600 plus years, and guess what? You're still going to be the father of many nations. To Isaac. What did God do to Isaac? He grabbed the knife of his father and said, "Whoa, that's my boy." To Isaac and to Jacob. As God Almighty, but my name, the Lord. I did not make myself known to them. Did I not make myself known to them? I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they live as aliens. What do you think, pastors? Coincidence? We really changed our preaching plan. Coincidence? I think not. Last week, I roamed in the land that God promised Abraham. And they still roam as aliens with a promise. But God said, "Because I have, it will be." Have you been strengthened this morning? God said, "Rick Thompson, you're saved. You know why? Not because you cook. Because Jesus said you were. Jeff Hayes, your beautiful daughter, she lit up the baptistry with all the glory of God. And Molly, I'm glad you were a struggler. You know what I found out about strugglers, people who really wonder if this is true? When they get it, it really is." Does that make sense? I love agnostic people because when they really see Him and know Him, they become faithful people. The people I wonder about are those that kind of casually hold hands with God because they kind of casually let go of Him when things get difficult. Here's what I want you to know. God's not going to let go of Hillview Heights Church. Hallelujah. Amen? Listen, I don't. Y'all have been really good. Y'all hadn't asked me a thing about that building. Don't worry about that building. If you're worried about that building, write a check. What are y'all laughing about? That's faith. I got all these praying people all the time. "Pastor Harris, I'm just praying for the building." I said, "Write a check. It'll help more." See, what we like is all this spiritual hooroo guru stuff. And not real faith. I believe in this church. One of the ways I testify to that is every Sunday at the offering. See, that's where, Bob, that's where it gets real. See, we can all talk. See, it gets real. Moses went and talked. Then it got real when God started delivering. Then Moses got all worried because God wasn't coming through on his timeline. And God told Moses, am I not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I will. Leaders, hang on. Go read Moses. Everybody picked on him. Yeah, Moses had some problem in the camp. But guess what? God will move us forward. Amen? Have y'all learned something today? We're going to get these people across the Red Sea eventually. But D, before we get them across the Red Sea, God's got to have them ready to be his children. Now today, there's some questions at the altar. For those of you that believe, how many of y'all need to ask God, God, what do you need to shake out of me? Here's what I found. This is just heads up. If you give it to God, it's a lot easier on you than if he has to go get it. See what I'm saying? I mean, if you're going to be arrogant, it's a lot easier on you if you just come to the altar and say, God, I have come to the realization that I'm arrogant. And God will speak to you and say, I've been in that realization for a long time. But now I'm glad that you and I are both on the same page so we can take that away so you can walk in humility and strength. Or God can set up a little arrogance lesson for you and you can be humbled, and that's a lot more painful than just giving freely unto God. Amen? But God's going to get it one way or the other. Y'all understand that? And why is he going to get those things away from you? Because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to have anything in you that's going to hinder you from what you could be in the kingdom of God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Friday night, I had a friend call me. I hadn't talked to him in 15 years. I answered the phone and he said, Ayers, your voice sounds humble. That's not usually spoken about me. He goes, what's happened to you, man? I said, you hadn't heard from me in 15 years. I said, I've been through some trials and some troubles. And I said, you know what? I've come to this truth. The pages of Scripture are absolutely God-inspired, and they are absolute truth. And it's not about what we can do, but it's about what God can do in us. So that tends to make you less cocky and more faithful. And I hope that's where our church heads. Amen? God will be seen. Amen? So you know what? I think God will feed us. What do y'all think? He's done through all human history. I think God will provide shelter for us. I think God will sustain us. And I think God will do exactly what he says he's going to do. So no matter what's going on today, you need to come. Some of you need to be delivered today. There's a new Moses in the house. His name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. And he was lifted up on a cross so all of our sin could be forgiven. He is the ultimate high priest. No more curtain, Billy. We traded a curtain for the cross. We traded a ripped curtain for an empty tomb. Any person in this place that would come and say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. God's going to draw a covenant with you. And he's going to forgive you of your sins because he can. And your life is going to change. And you'll spend from now until the ultimate arrival with God getting a lot of the Egypt out of you. But it will go away. Amen. I mean, I'm glad to be a part of the community of Christ. Amen. Well, let's stand as the body of Christ. And in this moment of worship, let's let God have this moment. Dear God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who sent his own son Jesus to this place, earth, to die for every sin in this building and beyond this building, and in all of humanity, may we come now and be saved in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I want us to come and pray that your truth would be verified by the way we live our lives. In the name of Jesus, God, we believe, we know that you're a God of promise, a God of certainty, and a God that will do what he says he's going to do. Amen? Let's come and worship. Come on, church. Come on, thank you for being at this altar. Powerful place. Let God have his way. Let God have his way. Come on.